Okay, like, I hate to be a fad guy. I really do. And I get caught up in it sometimes, and you have to forgive me if I do. But there has been this conversation. Do you have that little clip, Bub? Okay, hold on just a second. There have been a conversation going on a while in the church. I'm thinking maybe like the past five-ish years or something. It's been kind of, you know, tickling my fancy, but I, you know, I'm not a fad guy, so I just don't go there. I didn't wear WWJD bracelets, none of that. You know, never bought no t-shirts, you know. Actually, I was a fad guy when I was younger, and then, you know, I learned that I shouldn't be a fad, you know, kind of deal. I did think about this one thought that kind of captured me. It drew me in, so I'm going to be a fad guy for the next season, if you don't mind. But let me tell you the thought that drew me in. It wasn't this guy who said the thought, but he captures it well.
Why did you pick Genesis? Why is it so important?
Every single biblical doctrine of theology, directly or indirectly, is founded in Genesis 1 to 11. You start to think about it. You know, why was Jesus called the last Adam? Took the place of the first Adam, Genesis 1 to 11. Why did he die on the cross? Because of what happened in Genesis 1 to 11. Where did sin come from? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we die? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we have a seven-day week? Genesis 1 to 11. Why does man have dominion over the animals, over the creation, and not creation dominion over us, as many politicians have it today? Well, Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we have to work hard? There's a doctrine of work. Where does it come from? Genesis chapter 1 to 11. Two genders, Genesis 1 to 11. Marriage, Genesis 1 to 11.
Why did you pick Genesis? Why is it so important?
Yeah, so that line, the line was every theology that we have is built off of or founded in Genesis 1 through 11. And so after we had just done the greatest sermon of all time, I thought what I would do was take the foundation of that sermon and do Genesis 1 through 11. We're not doing it tonight, by the way, but we're going to do it over the next while. And it is true that, and I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be technically theological. In other words, you'll hear none of that from me. You never have in the last 15 years or 16, however long it's been, and you won't start now. But there are so many things that you'll see when we bump into it in the text, and when we just, and we maybe have glanced by it. Maybe you've read the X verse so many times in your life. I mean, like, how many of us has read Genesis 1 through 3, like, over and over? We know the story of creation and story of the fall and all this kind of stuff. But maybe along the way, we've missed some of the salient things that is said about it. And here's why I think sometimes we do. Because sometimes we read Genesis 1 through 11 without remembering that we have the entire rest of the canon of Scripture to talk to us about it. And so what I'm going to try to do is not to speculate about Genesis 1 through 11, but I'm going to try to use the rest of the canon of Scripture to teach you about Genesis 1 through 11. And I'm going to let the Scripture teach you about the Scripture, if you will. And so I hope that you'll enjoy this, because let me tell you what it'll do for you as a benefit in your life. For those of you who play Bible trivia, you'll win more games. But this is what I really want to happen to you. I want you to see how God, from time past, had you in his mind, and how the plan of the world, everything, including kudzu. I was driving with one of my sons to watch the Ole Miss game. By the way, I'm sorry for you Cajuns. It just has to happen. And he was disturbed, literally disturbed by these, like, you know, whole areas that had been overtaken by kudzu. It's the first time he'd kind of like had the kudzu experience, if you will. And many of us who are around here are bored by it because we've seen it so many times. But that was the first time he'd ever kind of like, he goes, what is this? And I told him, it's kudzu. It came straight from the devil. And via China, incidentally. But I said, you know, it's this thing that was brought in for erosion control, and it's kind of taken over everything. And he would look at these areas of trees that were just completely covered by it. And in Genesis 1 through 11, there's a story about what happened and how come kudzu's messing up the trees. And there's a story about what's going to happen, about how come one day the kudzu will be back where it belongs and everything will be back in order. And so that's an example. Everything we can talk about comes from this beginning story, Genesis 1 through 11. And so I'm tickled about it. It's an overwhelming task. I'll tell you, I'll admit to you, I think that I started, Jackie'd have to tell you the exacts on this. I don't know when I started teaching the scriptures, but it was a long time ago, maybe 40-ish years, 35 years at least. I don't know when First Southern was. Long time ago. Jeffrey, how old is Jeffrey? There you go, 37 years ago. And let me tell you this. I've never taken on these 11 chapters to teach, and I'll tell you why. It's the same reason I've never preached through Revelation. There's just too much here. And I always felt like that if I started this series, that I'd never get over it. I just felt like that, and literally, you'll see tonight, I tried to like look at chapter 1 and ended up with just one verse. And so I don't know if we'll ever get over it. How old are some of you guys? You know what I mean? Like, Rick, you ain't going to make it for sure. You ain't going to make it either. You know what I mean? You guys that are got some clicks on the belt, y'all might see up to chapter 3 or something. So listen, I'm joking, of course. You know, the Lord will give us grace and we'll move through it. But I'm not going to rush through it. One of the things I promised myself, Brad, is that, like, if this thing takes us a minute, then I'm not rushing through it. It's too big of a deal. There's too much in it. And so since I've decided to go for it, I'm going to slow down and take as much time as I need to. So let's just start in that great first verse that everybody's memorized. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What a wonderful, powerful verse. So let's just take the first phrase, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. However you want to take it, in the beginning, let's take in the beginning. Just wonder about that for one second. And so, like, you say, well, what does that mean? Like, does that mean before there was anything? Well, not before there was anything, because there was definitely something before the beginning, and it was, yes, exactly. In the beginning, God. And God talks a lot in the rest of his word about things that happened before anything else happened in creation. Before, he says, the founding of the world, before creation, before there was things that were going on. And of course, there wasn't any, I'm not going to make up stuff because the Bible doesn't speak to this, but I'm not even going to say it. The beginning hadn't happened yet, let's say, but God was there. And let's see some of the things that God was up to. And I came up with these late and had already sent my text to Bubba. So just listen to the things that God was up to before, in that first phrase in the beginning. Proverbs 8:23 is where Solomon personifies wisdom, turns wisdom into a person. And listen to what he says there in Proverbs 8:23. From everlasting, wisdom was established. From the beginning, before the earth began. So the wisdom of God, the personified wisdom of God, was present before the earth began, before the beginning, from the everlasting. That was that. Acts 15:8 says, known to God from eternity past are all his works. So here's what else was there. Not only the wisdom of God was there, and that proverb goes on to say that the wisdom was the planning wisdom of God, and it was the architectural wisdom of God, if you will, that was already in place before the creation. So God didn't just like go boom and it just all showed up. He had actually thought it out, if you will. In his wisdom, he had planned it all out. And not only had he planned it all out, but everything that he was ever going to do, he planned out before he ever did anything. Everything he was ever going to do, he planned out before he ever did anything, Acts 15:8. How about this one? Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, says two things about what happened before there was anything. And he says, and now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before there was anything, before the world existed. So before the world existed, Jesus and God the Father had already glorified the Son, and they were relishing in that glory together before the foundation of the world, before anything ever happened. In the beginning, before God created the heaven and the earth, Jesus was in the presence of the Father, and the glory of God from the Father to the Son was being spread about. In John 17:4, listen to this, because this has to do with you who are believers. Listen to this. He says, Father, I desire that they, that's us, also, whom you have given me. So there's a group of people that God gave to Jesus, and they're the church. They're his bride to be, if you will. And presently, but also, you know, we're going to have this big wedding at the end day. And so he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. So you gave me a people, and I want them to be with me. And because we're going to be with you, but I want them to see how much you've always loved me. That was before anything ever happened. Listen to else what Jesus says about us. He says in Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, that's us believers, his church, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Before he ever made a single thing in the heart and in the wisdom and in the love of God, God had already prepared a kingdom for his people that they were going to inherit before anything had ever happened. Ephesians 1 talks about when God knew his people. Listen to this. It says, Ephesians 1, it says, he chose us, the church, in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So here's, and then listen to this in Revelation 13. He's talking about the same group, his church. He says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. Everybody except those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. So here's what happened. In the wisdom of God and in the planning room, you know, like I don't know if you've ever seen or been a part of a big construction project. They have a planning room. It's called the war room. Yes. Who said that? There you go. Somebody got it. Oh, you know, of course. And so, yeah, the war room. And the war room's where all the muckety-mucks come in and look at the big picture and make sure that all the things are laid out that haven't yet happened, but they're going to happen. And they lay them all out and plan for them and make sure all this is going to happen. And in the war room of heaven, in the wisdom of God, God had given not only love and glory to his son, but he had also chosen a bride for his son, had named them all, put them in a name that Jesus, of a book that the Bible called the Lamb's Book of Life. And this particular Lamb's Book of Life, the reason it was called the Lamb's Book is because Jesus, would have to be slain to purchase the people in that book. But he had known them, and all of that had been planned before the foundation of the world. Before anything ever happened, the wisdom and the power and the planning of God. So you can say, well, I mean, I could just ask you if we had a roving mic and a little bit of light and a little bit more of a chit-chat environment instead of a monologue, look at the back of your friend's head environment, that I could just ask you. I could say, well, what does that make you think about everything else? You can say, well, God's had this whole thing mapped out, hadn't he? Yep, every single bit of it. We remember times where we hear that Jesus, that there's never been a hair that's fallen from our head that he didn't know about. And what we discover is that in the founding and planning purposes of God, that he had laid the whole thing out before anything happened. And so then what we begin to see is, we begin to see, well, then the whole thing begins to unfold in time. Because if you're in the war room and you've done all the planning, and planning, by the way, for a big project takes a long time. Maybe a couple years, depending on how big the project is. Who knows how long the Lord Jesus and the Father and the Spirit planned out the whole shamoli. Who knows? But they did. And what happens is that, but then that plan must be executed. And so everything has to be brought to bear in order for the plan to be accomplished. In other words, if God wants me to choose him or a fruit, well, he's got to make a tree with a fruit on it so I can do it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, he's got to bring all the stuff to bear for his plans and purposes to be accomplished. And he's going to do that literally in his own timeline. I don't know if you've ever seen a construction war room timeline, but like, they know exactly when everything's going to happen to the last detail before anything happens at all. That's exactly how God planned the world. He's not just the Lord of it and the Savior of it, but he is its architect. He is its founder. He is its finisher. He is its Alpha. He is all of that before he ever raises his voice to create the things that he wants to put in place to glorify himself and his son and bring glory from the son to the bride. And then all the earth also that he creates will sing his praises. But all of that has to flow, and we'll begin to see that whole picture unfolding in the next weeks. That was only one phrase. I'm hoping to get to this verse, and I only have 7 minutes left. Say, help the boy, Lord. Okay. So, the next phrase is, well, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, one of the things that you have to think about is, like, okay, we're going to find out in this verse that the earth was without form and void. Now, these are two fancy words, and if you go back and Google without form and void and put original Hebrew in your Google search, you're going to see some cool words in there. And I'm not going to do Hebrew for you. And okay, it's tohu and bohu. But here's, and the only reason I said that is because those are cool sounding words. Let me tell you what they mean. Without form meaning it's, like if you had something and it had no form, right? So it doesn't have a shape, if you will. It doesn't have form. So whatever it is, and let's just presume it's something. I want to think, by the way, Scripture doesn't say this, complete speculation. I want to think it was the building materials for the construction project of the world. But I don't know. He just says that he created the heavens and the earth. So that he created the whole thing, but he created the whole thing in this thing, and these Hebrew words mean chaos, or like when something doesn't have structure, it's like not together. It's like not organized. It's not there. It's not together. It's not there yet. It's a chaos. And so it's more famously used, the word's more famously used in Hebrew for chaos. So the world was created, heavens and the earth were created, but they just didn't have any structure yet at all. It was all, I'm going to go with primordial ooze. No, I just made that up. I don't know what it was, actually. Some people think it had to be watery, and I could show you that out of 100, some 104, by the way. The murky waters, it's called. You know, before you shape the murky waters, or something, you know. We'll do Psalm 104 eventually. So, well, here's what we see. The question is this. We know how light came to be. I'm rushing ahead just a tad, but how did light come to be? Yeah, God said, right, let there be life. But here's the question that many biblical people and philosophers have said. Well, how did this come to be? Whatever this was that God created with, which was empty, void, like, and chaotic. How did that come to be? Well, like I said, the Scripture is going to teach you about this story. So what do the Scriptures have to say? The Scriptures say in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed, how? So that what was seen was not made out of what was. So God's saying this. So here's what God's telling us in this passage. Yep, primordial ooze did show up, but I didn't create out of the primordial. I began to structure things out of the primordial ooze, perhaps. I'm making this word up. Remember, it's not Bible. It's Bobby trying to, who knows? Okay. Out of the without form and void, let's call it that. That's what the Bible calls it. I didn't structure it, but he said this. Because when there was nothing that was visible, the heavens and the earth, nothing was visible. The universe was created out of my command. I even spoke that into space. In the beginning, God commanded that the universe organize itself into chaos. And the Bible says the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And I honestly have an entire section that there's no way I'm going to be able to even bump into, so we're going to do it next week. Okay, big picture. And now I really should have sent you those verses. Okay, so big picture. Even before the heavens and earth were created without form and void, God was here planning out the entire thing before any of it ever happened. He will refer to this over and over and over in his word. I could have literally could have gone on and on showing you those verses. But I showed you enough of them to have God's word teach you about that time before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God had already was relishing in the glory of his Son that Jesus wants us to look on. Before the foundation of the world, the Father was in love with the Son, and Jesus wants to see how much he loved him. Before the foundation of the world, God had already given Jesus a church, had named them by name, and had written them in a book of life that Jesus would one day have to give his life to purchase the people in it. All happened before the foundation of the earth. And then God said, make a big bunch of stuff, and I'm going to have some fun next week. And that's the God you serve. None of this stuff's haphazard. None of this stuff is came to be out of itself. God brought it to be out of himself. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for your glorious word, for even these few verses and few phrases that we've been able to bump into that are so rich and deep and wide with your glories, Lord. I thank you for them, and I thank you for giving us the rest of the word to teach us about these words. And I pray, Lord, that as we come to know you and we come to see your plan and how you unfolded your plan in time and in history and how it included us and how you had the us and your Son as the object of your affection all along, that we would see ourselves differently and see our world differently and see you differently and see Jesus differently, and by the renewing of our mind, we would be transformed. We pray for that in Christ's name. Amen.